Tony Broom Ministries presents the following Bible teaching session from Isaiah chapters 34 and 35 entitled Everlasting Judgment or Everlasting Joy. Well, we have two chapters before us today, Isaiah chapter 34 and Isaiah chapter 35. And I'm glad that we don't stay in 34, because 34 talks about judgment, the judgment that's coming on the wicked, and those who refuse to serve God and refuse to listen to the voice of God. There's no other alternative but judgment. God's judgment awaits all who rebel, but, and somebody said earlier, that but cancels out everything. God's judgment awaits those who rebel, but the redeemed of the Lord will experience everlasting joy. Amen. That is a good reason to be redeemed. Amen. I'd rather have everlasting joy than everlasting judgment anytime. Amen. So the session title is Everlasting Judgment or Everlasting Joy. And there's no brainer. It's a decision that's clear to make. Some people think that making a decision for Christ or the Lord is hard, but I wish every decision in life was that easy, because it's not easy all the time, but it's a simple decision. Sometimes things are simple, but they're not easy. The devil makes it hard. It's not easy all the time, but it's simple. The simple choice is to live for God and serve God. It's a no-brainer to live for Him, to have life, to escape the judgment of God. To refuse to serve Him is to be under God's wrath, and nobody wants to be there. Our golden text is Isaiah 35:10. The ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs, and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Sounds like the bad is going to run away and the good is going to take over. That is the opposite of what we see in our world today. Seems like the bad is taking over and the good's running away. The good is either running away or being covered up by the bad. That's not the way it really is. As we live in this world of sin and woe all around us, that doesn't stop the joy for God's people. God's people has always been a remnant to serve God and to love God and to give glory to Him. Remember that David said He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. The enemy is all around us. That does not stop us from eating that good old steak and gravy buffet before the Lord. Amen. Having our table prepared before us, He anoints our head with oil and our cup runs over. The goodness and mercy follows us. His rod and His staff, they comfort us. We still have joy no matter what's going on around us. God's judgment is against the wicked. Chapter 34, first four verses. Come near, ye nations, to hear, and hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear, and all that is therein, the world, and all things that come forth of it. So he's telling, looky, looky, listen, listen. And he's telling the people to hear. He's telling the world to hear, the earth, and everything that comes out of it. That pretty much covers everything. This message is not for just one race or color or kind. This message is for everybody. He said it's for everyone. And in case you leave anybody out, I'll just put the animals and everything in there. This message is for everybody. All nations, come to hear. All the earth, all the world, and everything that's in it, and everything that comes out of it. That takes care of everything. I don't know anything that's not covered. Anything that is in the earth, anyone that's in the earth, anything that comes out of it. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and His fury upon all their armies. That's why they call Him the Lord of the armies. Adonai Sabaoth is the Lord of the armies, the Lord of Sabaoth, the New Testament even says. So he is the God of the armies. It's upon all nations, his fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them to the slaughter. And why, you would say, is God so upset? Or as the Jingle Bell song says, why is he so upset? Why in the world does he get so angry? What is making him so mad? God has every right to be mad. We look in the world around us, it seems like when you were coming up, when things got bad, people changed their attitude, they got on their knees, they turned to the Lord. The worse things got, the better people seem to have gotten. But it doesn't happen that way now. It seems like the worse things get, the meaner people get. That is the opposite reaction of what we ought to have. And God is saying, my anger is about to boil over. My anger is delivering all to slaughter, to the armies, to the people of the world. My wrath is upon all these nations. Their slain also shall be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood. God is warning people to get right with God, and he's speaking to Israel, but he's speaking to not just Israel. He's speaking through the prophet to Israel, but he's speaking to everyone. He says, my wrath is being poured out upon all nations. Their stinky carcasses, the mountains will be melted with their blood. Why is God so angry? It's because people have refused his law. They refuse to obey the voice of the Lord. All the hosts of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down as a leaf falleth off from the tree, and as a fig from the fig tree, as a fig falls off of the fig tree. That's the way it will happen. He describes it, and sometimes the prophet is describing things in a vision. The prophet says sometimes it looks like the earth is empty. It looks like the earth is void and turned upside down. Well, at that time, was the earth really empty? It was not empty, but in the vision that he's seeing things have gotten so bad that it looks like everything is just turned upside down. It doesn't mean that it's actually happening then. This is a vision that he has to describe how bad the judgment is going to be if people don't get right with God. It will be like the time that Peter talks about, 2 Peter chapter 3, when the elements will melt with fervent heat and the heavens will be rolled together as a scroll. God will bring his vengeance upon the world. And it has happened before, and it will happen in the end. He describes it in the time when he will purify this earth. He will purify it off and construct it in its original state as he wanted it to be. Because God made this world and all the creation the way he wanted it to be. With the enemy, you see the mess that he's made out of it. So the only thing that God can do, as far as this creation is concerned, is to fix it back again. And God wants to fix it back, but he does not want to use judgment to do it. God wants to fix things. He wants to purify this earth. And Revelation said, behold, I make all things new. God has a plan, and Isaiah 65, 66 talks about it, that he will make new heavens and new earth. He's talking about new in the sense that it will be new, brand new. This earth, the psalm says, abides forever. And God has created this earth. And this earth went through the flood. This earth has gone through a lot of things. This earth has gone through Calvary. It's gone through earthquakes. It's gone through, and in the judgment of the end, it will go through that. But it will end up being like God wanted it to be in the very beginning. God didn't create us to die. He created us to live. And he wants us to live. He wants us to have life. He wants us to have it more abundantly. And that's the way that God will see to it that things are. But we have to cooperate with him. The more that we cooperate with him, Jesus said, pray that thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the more that we cooperate with God to bring these things to pass, the easier it will be on us. More souls will be saved. That's what really needs to happen now. All these things of evil are going on, even in the time that we live in. But you don't hear about many people getting saved. Well, why not? They're not experiencing a lot of things in this world. You can't go much anywhere. You can't do much anything. One thing about it, at least the hell holes are closed up. Some of them are. It's bad when they can stay open and churches hardly operate. That's the time that we're living in. God says that unless we change our ways and turn from our wicked ways, that judgment is coming. The Lord describes his righteous anger of judgment as he describes it like a sword that's bathed in heaven, a sword that's filled with blood, ready for vengeance and sacrifice. And this is the judgment that's coming. Judgment will come to the wicked. John in the New Testament says that judgment is already on people who do not know the Lord. He who believes on the Son has everlasting life, but he who does not believe the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God is already abiding on him. The wicked are facing the judgment of God. The only way we can get out from under the judgment of God is to get right with God. God wants us to get right with him. Divine restoration. This is verses 8 through 10. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. When Jesus came and he fulfilled Isaiah 61 in Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, he talked about the Spirit of the Lord being upon him to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to bind up those who are bruised, and recover sight to the blind, and let the prisoners go free, those who are brokenhearted to be healed. And he says to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. The acceptable year of the Lord is what we've been in for a while, and it's about to come to a close, because at the end of the age, it will not be the acceptable year of the Lord anymore. It will turn to the day of the Lord, this year of the Lord of judgment that he's talking about. Year of the controversies for Zion, Israel, Jacob's great trouble, the tribulation is coming. And God's people are ready to get out of here. The rapture is about to take place. Our Lord will come. Some people have different thoughts as to when he'll come, and nobody knows the day or the hour. One thing we know, he's coming. He said, behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according to his work will be. And he's promised to come. And he said, this is the day of the Lord. Divine restoration is coming, but judgment has to take place. But judgment does not have to take place in our life if we get right with God. The only way that you and I can escape judgment is to get on the good side of God. And the way that you do that is by having a relationship with him through his Son, Jesus Christ. And the streams thereof shall be turned into pitch, and the dust thereof into brimstone, and the land thereof shall become burning pitch. God says this is an anger, smoking and burning anger of the Lord. The land itself will be turned into burning pitch. It will be a brimstone. You don't have to go to hell to get brimstone. You have fire and brimstone right here on earth, burning. It shall not be quenched night nor day. The smoke thereof shall go up forever. From generation to generation it shall lie waste. None shall pass through it forever and ever. And he goes to this detail to tell us about the time that's coming. You say, how in the world could land burn like pitch forever and ever? Well, if you look around and see the sin that's going on, the ungodliness in Washington and all of the nations around the world, you can see there's enough sin there to make the land turn into burning pitch and burn forever and ever.
Yeah.
There's enough sin around to quench a fire, brother. You can believe that. God have mercy on us all. God goes into great detail in verses 11 through 17 to describe how the land will become desolate. Brambles, nettles, and thorns will take it over. Doleful creatures like owls and vultures will dwell in it, unhindered and undisturbed. Why? Because there will be no people in the fortresses, palaces, all these beautiful places that have been, that will be desolate. And these fortresses, the palaces, king's houses, country club houses will be taken over by these doleful creatures, these animals, screech owls. All the animals of the desert will come and take these places over. God tells us about it. And everyone will have their mate. Everyone will be disturbed. Where you used to have business, you used to have people, you used to have a lot of these things that are going on. Now all you hear is, ooh, 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 all these animals crying out. It's about that way now. You look around, businesses are closed. Can't go in and sit down and have a meal. Got to make special arrangements to go out and have it either brought to you or pick it up. And you really don't know. You say the blessing once, and you say, I believe I better say it again, because I don't know whose hands have been in it. I don't know where they've been. I don't know what kind of virus they've got. I don't know what kind of sickness they have. And so you pray over it again and trust in God. And then you say, well, you know, come to think of it, I think I'll just stay at home and open a can of pork and beans. That might be what I need to do, because businesses are closed. Things are affected. You can't get anything done anymore. People in Henderson, surrounding towns, they ain't no hurry to get to work. Some of them don't want to work, and the ones that do act like they just got tar and feathers on their body all day, just drag around. 10:30 in the morning before anybody gets to do anything. Then it's time to go to lunch. Then it's time to go home. Seems like nobody just wants to do anything anymore. I don't know whether it's because you can't do much or they just don't want to. Try going to the bank if you don't believe it. Sit out there for a couple hours. Cars all wrapped around the building. It's bad when you go to a bank and you want to rob it, you want to get some money out of it that way. I can understand being lined up, but it's bad when you can't even put no money in there and you have to go sit there and get money in it. Give me a Pentecostal break. You know there's something got to be wrong with that. I'm glad that there's a better day coming. What we're living in now. And we have seen hard times in our life. But our parents, our grandparents, have seen hard times in their life. These businesses, these fabulous places, beautiful places, he said now they'll be taken over by these creatures because there'll be nobody there. The land will lie desolate. It had to do it because of the sin of the people. God said, if you don't take care of my land, I will drive you out of that land into captivity, and the land will enjoy her Sabbaths. As long as she lay desolate, she enjoys and keeps Sabbath, because you did not keep Sabbath when you dwelt upon him. And the land was able to rest and get out of some of this contamination. Isaiah describes chapters 24 and 25 of his book, he talks about the land, the earth being so corrupt under the inhabitants upon it, sin lying heavy upon it. Earth is reeling to and fro like a drunk person. It's turned upside down. All the courses of nature out of force are not right. It's because of what we have done to God's beautiful creation. And so these creatures will take over the world in that time, at least in the time of the land that he's talking about. The gladness of the redeemed. Thank God we have a better day coming.
Yes.
Chapter 35, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, be glad for the animals. And if it's glad for the animals, you know it'll be glad for those who are redeemed. And the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. He talks about the desert blossoming like the rose. That song that we sing sometimes, valleys make room, deserts shall bloom. It's because of this scripture right here in Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35 is given to the kingdom that's coming. The millennial reign will see the fulfillment, the full fulfillment of this. But we can see even now in our day, if we turn back to God, He will bless us again. He will bless our economy again. He will bless our nation again. If God blesses us once, He can certainly bless us again.
Yeah.
If we turn back to God and get right with God, quit making wrong decisions, quit putting morons in the place of the office where they shouldn't be, put righteous people in there to lead our nation into the way of righteousness, quit having corrupt elections and having honest votes. There's all kinds of things you could say, but it's just doing what's right. When you just plain out do what's right, God says, I will bless you again. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Now this is quoted again in the book of Hebrews, so you know it's important. Strengthen the hands, the weak hands, confirm, make strong the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Amen to God. How we need that message in the day that we live in. That four-letter word, I've said some dirty four-letter words in my life, and most of them, thank God, hopefully, I'll never say in church by the grace of God. But here's a bad word that I will say in church. That four-letter bad word is F-E-A-R. Fear is a bad word. But that's one that's permitted to say in church, so I said it. But he said, don't fear. Jesus said, fear not. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Many times he has to say, fear not. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, I'm your God. I will help you, strengthen you, hold you with my righteous hand. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. And that's good news. He will save you. The eyes of the blind will be opened. The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a hart, like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb will sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. God said, I'm going to make you well. When the devil is bound in the bottomless pit during the time of the millennial reign of Christ, there'll be healing. People will be well. But we can do it now. Jesus said, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven now. And to the point that we give ourselves to God and allow Him to use us, the church can rise up and make a difference during this parts time that we're living in, dry time that we're living in. We can make a difference. We can be a light that shines in the darkness. In a world as dark as ours, it doesn't take too much light to make a difference and shine out. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation where dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. God said, I'm going to turn it around. A highway shall be there, and a way. It shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those. The wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. You don't have to have a college education. You don't have to have a big degree. All you have to have is faith in God.
Yeah.
You will not be a fool. You will not err therein. The way of holiness will be put out there before you. And when the devil's not around, we'll have a highway of holiness. But we can have a high way of holiness now. And it's either holiness or hell. Still, God makes a way. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. Now before, it was given over to owls and creatures, vultures. Now he said, I'm turning things around. No lion will be there. The lion and the lamb will play. The song says the child will lead them. Not talking about leading adults. They do that now. They tell adults what to do, but they're not supposed to. But he said, then the child will lead them. It's talking about the animals. They'll lead the wild animal, no harm. It shall not be found there. My holy mountain, he said, the redeemed shall walk there. The ransomed of the Lord, that ransom means redeemed. The redeemed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They'll be crowned with joy instead of crowned with sorrow, crowned with gray hairs and crowned with grief and sorrow and catastrophe and calamity. You'll be crowned with joy. Everlasting joy will be on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. There'll be no place for it anymore. And thank God for that day that's coming. He promises us that we will have a day. And oh, what a day that will be, when the ransomed of the Lord will return to Zion with songs of joy on their head. Father, thank you for the opportunity that we have to look into your word and find comfort, knowing that judgment will not last forever, that joy is coming in the morning, that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And we thank you for that golden daybreak when Jesus will come. May many turn their life around and be ready for him. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching session from Isaiah chapters 34 and 35 entitled Everlasting Judgment or Everlasting Joy. Make sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior and you know Him as your Lord today. Instead of experiencing everlasting judgment, you will have everlasting joy. This has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.